Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and this time Paradigm Shifters is traveling the world over. You're going to meet Stuart Keyes, who's across the pond. Here I am in North America, and he's in the UK. And Stuart is a medium and is very capable of working with things that are difficult, like mysteries, murder, suicide, and the process of evolution, and so on. Welcome to the show, Stuart.
Hi, good evening. It's a good evening from me and a good morning to you, isn't
Yes, it is. I try to remember where we're at time-wise, but time itself is shifting pretty fast, so it's confusing.
Yeah, sure is. But yeah, so how are you doing? You okay?
I'm doing really well, and I'm really glad to be talking to you. And I wanted to say this, something that you said. You are, from my perspective, from what I know about you and from your wonderful website, you're very gifted at seeing beyond and seeing what makes people tick. And then you were very clear about, I don't want to call it a gift. And I'm going, ha, I'm going to ask him about that right off the bat. What does that mean to you?
To me, I mean, I suppose I want to be treated, you know, as normal as anybody else, really. And I don't want people to look at me if, you know, I have some sort of superpower or he is a gifted one or a chosen one and things like that. Because I find it, I don't know what it's like there in the States, but certainly in the UK, people tend to put you up on a bit of a pedestal, you know, and they see you as being somebody that's so different. And I've always come in with this thing of, I'm just like you guys, you know, and yes, I
And you do appear
do.
pretty normal. I mean, that's not a put
Yeah, I'm
down.
just a
It's just.
regular guy. You know, if you used to bump into me, you wouldn't have a clue what I did. You know, I just, you know, as I am here, I'm just sat, jeans, t-shirt, you know, I'm relaxed, you know. I don't make it this stereotypical, you know, psychic medium thing, you know, where it's all a bit dark. And, you know, I try to demystify mysticism. That's how I put it,
Well, what
you
do you
know.
think is happening with mysticism in this time on the planet? Because I think what you just said is very relevant to an evolutionary thing that's going on amongst humanity. What do you think of that?
It's certainly evolving. Certainly here in the UK, noticing it a lot. You know, where beforehand, you know, this sort of thing, you probably wouldn't want to maybe tell somebody that you was going to see a psychic medium. You'd keep it fairly quiet. Nowadays, you know, it's coming out a lot more. People are almost coming out in themselves and saying, "Well, hey, you know, this is what I do. I go to see a, you know, a psychic medium," and they're very proud of it. You know, it's almost like the psychic medium is almost like another therapist, you know, here in the UK. Also with our own TV and even film, British filmmaking right now, you know, Pinewood Studios, which is not so far from where I am, you know, they're making a new paranormal film at the moment, you know, and it's so paranormal's coming out in the movies, it's coming out on the TV. We have a program called Most Haunted here, which is investigating haunted locations. We have Colin Fry, you know, John Edward, who you have in America, he's broadcasted over here. People are really loving this right now, and I think people are going back to the roots a little bit and trying to find, you know, the truth, I would call it.
So, what do you think your own? And I agree with you entirely, and it sounds like what's going on over here as well. Although, when we think of the UK, we think of haunted places more than you do, except for certain sections over here. You know, the UK's got a wonderfully textured history in our
Yeah,
memory.
we're very,
And
very,
you
very
said.
lucky.
Yeah, and you said the thing about, well, actually, I was talking to somebody over there, and she was talking about being able to track back the in England, something you can't do here, but track back for 4, 5, 6, 7, 800 years the existence of someone who appears in spirit form, which you can't really do in North America so much, you know.
Yeah, it's quite incredible, really, isn't it? It's you know, and I've done that even through my own one of my own spirit guides.
That's wonderful. Well, let's talk about you. I'm very excited about your work. And, you know, I'll start with the heavier stuff because you mentioned some people think of it as very dark. And I think what's dark is its history more than what you're doing now. But you do work on mysteries like murder and suicide, right?
Yeah, I do. A lot on murder cases. I'm working on a murder case here in the UK at the moment. It's a difficult one because it, you know, within what I do in my findings, it, you know, it wouldn't hold up in a court of law. But
Mm-hmm.
what it does do is help the Metropolitan Police here in the UK, and it helps them just to get leads. So, you know, I have a family, and they've come to me. This has happened. Please, can you help us? And I'm just giving them the information that's coming through from their loved one. Their loved one is very, very eager to want to get their point across. They want this information to come out. They want this information to flow of what's happened. And where I'm very fortunate is I'm able to engage within the last 48 hours of that spirit's life.
Mm.
So I'm giving, it's almost like a playback of time.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I'm taken back into this point of what happened the day before, you know, the day before that, building up towards the actual passing in itself, or the murder in itself. So
does that actually give you clues as to not just who's the murderer, but why would this person's life need to cease at that time? Is that kind of pre-described or preordained, as we say?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time, I mean, when I've worked on these cases, it has been described to me both from the spirit as well as my own guide that was that person's time. You know, they were going to go. And I find it quite hard. I'm very open-minded. I probably have to be in what I do. But I find that very hard to take in that the fact that person had to go by being murdered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that. You know, and I still will struggle with that always.
Do you ever find people on the other side, beings on the other side, who are still upset because it wasn't their time? They felt it wasn't their time.
Oh yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Do you help them with that?
I find it hard. I mean, I'm clairsentient, mm-hmm. and clairaudient, partial clairvoyance. My clairsentience, I feel how people feel. So I feel how people feel when they sit in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also go through the feeling process of that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So how they may have crossed over. I get that. That's pretty nasty sometimes.
I bet it is, eh?
You know, so I get that physically in my body. Like on this case, it's, you know, I won't go divulging into this case, but it, you know, the hot feeling being stabbed into my body, you know, is a hot it feels like hot. That's the only way I can put it, in different parts of my body. Mm. It's a multiple stabbing. You know, so the feeling of that, I get that momentarily. You know, it's not my body that's going through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's my spirit body is having to go through it for me to recognize what's going on. So then that spirit is pretty upset. You know, they've gone, they've left their family. They didn't want to go at that point. And then you get this feeling of, do you know what? I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm safe. I'm well. I'm happy where I am because I'm away from the hurt and pain. So they give me that almost that fragment of the hurt and the resentment towards it and the bitterness towards it. And then that just drifts away very, very quickly because the spirit form then sets in. It's like, hey, do you know what? I'm okay. And some spirits can actually be quite blasé about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've gone. I've been murdered. I've accepted it now. I think there's an acceptance. Hmm. You know, that they have to go through.
Do you help them with that, Stuart? Like, what does happen for the average person or for people who aren't necessarily murdered? How do you perceive the other side? And do you help people make that transition?
Yeah, I mean, through my work, I get called out to a lot of locations where there's a haunting, for example. I do something called rescue work.
Mm-hmm.
So I help spirits cross over. Only this week I was called out to a beautiful country residence in the United Kingdom. We're very, very blessed here, you know, with some of the properties that we have. And this property was just gorgeous, you know, and it stood in acres of land. It had the forest around it. It had its own river going through the backs of the property. Just this beautiful Georgian mansion, but within it, where they'd started making all these changes, a haunting had started. So I had to go in and then go rescue that spirit that was there. And basically, what it was a former resident that's been laying dormant there anyway, so the haunting was already there, but they were quite happy to kind of go unnoticed, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But because of all this banging and knocking around and all these changes being made, they didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to kick up a stink about it and say, do you know what, I'm going to haunt you.
So
I don't like this.
Can you explain why, or why do you think people, spirits, don't want to leave? Like, why do they want to stay?
They're so familiar with their surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
They love what they've got around them. And, you know, in the essence of this gentleman, he loved his location. He loved this place. He coexisted in this property with them. He almost saw them as the lodgers. You know, he was still living there.
Mm.
And
were they familiar with him before? I mean, so he just started to act up when they were moving. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, basically, things are starting to change because they were starting to renovate and change certain parts of his home. It's a sizable house. You know, when you can live in a west wing and an east wing and things like that, it's a big, big property.
You betcha.
Amazing. You know, the size, you can't even get your head around, is crazy. But they didn't like that. This energy didn't like the changes.
Hmm.
You know.
So did you have to get to know him? Did you know his personality a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, he was quite a strong figure. Mm-hmm. You know, he came through. He was a legal figure of his day,
mm-hmm.
And he was a very prominent figure of that time. And you know, he was quite a strong energy. You know, he wasn't going to go easily, and I had to go through like a process of negotiation really with him.
Well, what I really love, and we got interrupted because of a technical glitch with this old Mercury retrograde thing probably, or the speeding, I think the speeding of time and vibration is probably doing some of it.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to what you were talking about. What do you perceive on the other side when you're helping people through the other side, or you're really opening to understand it?
Whenever I'm working with a spirit, and you know, we're working on a rescue, or even when a spirit is coming forward to me, a lot of the time I'm just shown these beautiful cornfields. And it's beautiful. If you can just imagine corn just blowing just gently in the wind from left to right, that's how it's shown to me. I can just see acres and acres of these cornfields. And not to say that spirit and heaven is just made of cornfields, but it's almost like to me and from my guide, that's the opening, that's the doorway, that's the beginning of this this place, this spirit place. And there's so many different parts of it. You know, the seven spheres, as my guide has often talked about, a sphere being the size of one of our universes, it's just such a vast space. You know, so we can go in different locations, different places. We're on the first sphere here as we're living and breathing. We go to the second sphere when we cross over. And then eventually, you know, we work our way through the spheres as we get to know more and we, you know, we grow in knowledge. You know, so I've seen it as that. My guides, when loved ones are coming forward, if I see a family member's come to see me for a reading or it's one of my shows that I do, I am taken to a place in my mind where there's a big waiting room.
Hmm.
There's a big, big table, and the spirits all just gather around that table and they wait one by one to come through.
Oh, how wonderful. How organized,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, and it is, yeah. I have, especially if I'm doing a show, if I'm doing a theatre show, it has to be organized from spirit side of things because you've got so many people in the audience and you've got a lot of people in spirit all trying to get your attention.
Hmm.
You know, so they're all craving for your attention. So my guides say, right, okay, we're going to do this one by one.
Well, know, I noticed so also that you said that you were able to kind of turn it off and on, so you're not just flooded.
No, I have to turn it off, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn from a very young age. This has always been a part of me, Veronica. I've really never known anything different, you know, and I've had to learn from a very early age to be able to switch off and to turn this off because otherwise they'd be at me every minute of the day.
Well, tell me this, just, I don't want to leave your childhood right now. Did you, were you able to perceive across the veils when you were small?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a big part of my life. My mum said she started to notice that I was a little bit different from other children around the age of 6 years old.
Hmm.
You know, I was picking up on things. I was saying that there were people at the stairs, there was people in my room, and, you know, she just took it as being, you know, a kid with a vivid imagination, but it just continues and continues and continues.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up with it. You know, I had a Catholic upbringing. And
sometimes that helps because you're accustomed to angels and spirits,
yeah,
and so on.
Absolutely. And just what I was going to say, in many ways that helped me so much.
Yeah.
You know, because of my faith, and I still have that Catholic belief in me now. You know, I will still pray, and, you know, I will still ask, you know, Jesus to look after the family and help us and be there for us and guide and protect us for the angels to come forward. And, you know, so I still have that, you know, that solid belief. And I feel that that helped me so much because at points it was just a little bit scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was getting knocks and bangs, you know, in my bedroom when I was a kid, you know, knocks on my door, you know, just all sorts of things were going on. And,
terrifying,
you know,
eh? That sounds... Yeah.
Oh, it was. You know, mm-hmm. You're just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just want to play. You know, you want to play cars and you want to do stuff in your room and just be a child, you know. You don't want this weird thing going on that you can't explain.
Really?
And that you're also a little bit scared of telling people about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because though I could speak to my mum, it all comes from my mum's side. It comes from the Irish side of the family, from Nan and from mum, very, very linked in, very psychic. And, you know, so I was blessed in that sense, but it was still, this understanding from them was great, but I was still frightened because I'm thinking, what on earth is going on? Am I going mad?
Mm-hmm. That would be the first kind of thing. But did you remember where you, I mean, what was your memory as a small person? Did you remember where you'd been before? Did you have like angels or that sort of thing?
Yeah, I was always very, very of knowledge that I had been in a place before. You know, the deja vu moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of that was happening. I would always, my brother was knocked down and killed by a car. When he was 8 years old, and I'd often have him around me and have his spirit energy around me, and I think that also helped,
mm-hmm.
you know, as through my growing up process. So,
did you become good friends from across the veil, or was it just more spiritual?
No, not really. It was, you know, God love him, it was just more of a visit, really, you know, so it wasn't the pally thing, it was just, you know, I'm here, I'm with you, I'm walking with you. Everything's fine, you know. Again, you have to be careful because if you turn around to my mum and say, hey, you know, John's been here today, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to go upsetting her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to be a child in many ways, isn't it? Let's go back to the spheres. That was really interesting, and your guidance taught you about the spheres. So when someone releases from this plane, if they don't choose to stay in their beautiful, elegant mansion, as a spirit, how do we mobilize being able to go through different spheres, or can we?
The spheres in its change is very much of your knowledge. You know, the more that you learn down here, the further you're going to go over there.
Yeah, that's great.
And I say to anybody, look, the key thing for anybody to learn, if you're going to get a book, you know, get the book on the telepathic, you know, side of telepathic communication, etc., because that is the voice. That's what we use over there.
Hmm.
So that will help in advancement of knowledge and communication. Going over there, the seven spheres, basically, we're on one sphere already here on this earth plane. We go to the second sphere when we pass over. And then we grow as we develop. We will grow through the spheres and we'll develop in spirit. And we can go to different places. The higher the levels, you know, going into angels and, you know, lords and masters, you know, you're heading off there really into, you know, levels of sixes and sevens. And we may be able to visit those, but we won't be able to maybe live in those areas. That is for creators. That's for, you know, the next generation of the high levels of spirit.
What if we were really good people?
I think you can beaver away and, you know, you can work hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as, you know, Mother Teresa,
mm-hmm.
you know, did on this earth plane. Pope John Paul, you know, has, you know, and they are in those levels. Yes, you can be down here on this earth plane and you can work your socks off. Mm-hmm. And yes, you may well be fortunate enough to be given that gateway.
Hmm. And now tell me from the other side, who comes to you, let's say, not necessarily about murders and suicide, although I would like to go back to the suicide thing in a minute, but who comes to you for people and why do you think they come? You know what I mean? Like what kind of spirits come to visit you and a client?
So many different levels. You know, I can have, you know, it can be a spirit person that, you know, has passed away, they've had a heart failure, they've left, you know, they were a father, they've still got their kids left behind. You know, I can have, you know, the person who is in an accident and, you know, that they've wanted to get back quickly. I've had people that have just died of natural causes, but their families found it very, very difficult being left behind. A lot of the people that come through, I do find, are people, kids especially. Kids, it's amazing. And I find it, I have to be honest, I find it a little bit difficult when kids come through. And I think that's just purely because I've got kids myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a little boy, he's 4, and I've got a little girl, and she's 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
So when children come through, I take that on myself in my heart because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, my own children.
Mm-hmm.
What would that feel to lose? And you think, no, stop it. You know, but you can't help your brain but think that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so,
what that person's going through. Again, because I'm clairsentient, I'm going through the feelings of it. Very, very emotional.
That's something, isn't it? Well, that's educational for you if we live vicariously through all those feelings, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the feelings and emotions are a very, very powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we need to listen to our emotions more.
Maybe you want to say more about that?
Yeah, just with the emotions of listening to our emotions, that, you know, it goes in with listening to our gut instinct, you know, listen to how we really feel. If we're happy, let it be happy. If we feel sad, let it be sad. You know, someone said to me today, do you know what? I can't cry. I mustn't cry. I said, well, why mustn't you cry? Because I need to be strong for everybody else. And I'm saying, hey, you know, you can't be strong for everybody else. You know, you've got to start looking after yourself. Listen to your emotion. You know, if you want to cry, then cry. If you want to be happy, then be happy. You know, listen to yourself. Listen to your instincts. Listen to your emotion. It's so, so important. I've met many people over the years that have almost just gone within themselves, almost become reclusive, and their emotions have all gone inwards, and they've actually made themselves very, very ill
mm-hmm.
by doing that. You know, we must all let our emotions out. Do you know, I'm a guy, and guys are, yeah, I mustn't cry, you know, I'm a bloke. Blokes don't cry. You know, I'll cry.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I'll be happy to cry. Hmm. You know, it doesn't bother me. And you know what? After a good old cry, I feel brilliant.
Well, do you know when the beings come, for example, a child that's on the other side, do they not help heal the emotional blocks in their parents, for example?
Yeah, they would try. There's an old saying, I don't know if you've heard this saying, but over here in this country, that you cannot help those who do not want to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, sadly, somebody is stuck within their emotions and they can't come out of it. Now, grieving in itself and the grief process is a big process of time, and time is a great healer. So sometimes that spirit form will want to help a loved one, will want to help mum and dad, but that comes in time.
And do you think other people come, like, for example, somebody, an ex-husband or a parent that's been abusive, do you think they come to unhook some of the damage or to clarify issues?
Absolutely. And countless times have I seen that in a deep process, but, you know, through abuse, through marriages that have maybe been violent, alcoholism, just maybe a parent that was just too busy and couldn't always be there,
mm-hmm.
you know, or a husband that worked away all the time and wasn't there for his wife and she needed him. You know, and the amount of times a spirit will come forward and say, do you know what? I'm really, really sorry. I'm really, really here for you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to help, and I want to, you know, I know it's late, and I know that I should have done that when I was on here on this earth plane, but I really, really want to help you. So spirits can help in that level, that they can help us move forward and gain strength.
So the forgiveness is a detachment process, isn't it?
Yeah, they need that so much, mm-hmm. you know, to help them to move on and to move forward, you know, but also for us. But again, we can't do that until we are ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the spirit has been released of the hurt, the pain and emotion to a degree,
mm-hmm.
not wholeheartedly, but that a lot of this has been removed, so they get to move on a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And remembering that there's no time in spirit.
Right.
There's no days, there's no weeks.
But there is a huge evolutionary process, isn't there, of cultivating the wisdom. So tell me about suicides, because a lot of us have felt that suicide is terribly dangerous because, and we were taught that as Catholics, actually, because you're then stuck forever, as they used to say. But I don't experience that in my work, but I'd like to hear how you work with it or how you experience it with your spirit connection.
Yeah, when spirit is coming forward, and certainly with a spirit that's crossed over through a suicide, the first thing that does come through is that they always come through to me with their head down. Mm-hmm. Their head is bowed down to me. There is this period of, oh my, what have I done? I shouldn't have done that. You know, I'm really, really sorry. You know, and it's this big thing. They're almost like children that have been naughty. Mm-hmm. I'm really, 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 really sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And they're just almost begging for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. They need that to be voiced. They need to get that out. As soon as they get the acceptance from their loved one over here, and they always do, because it's like, oh, God, thank goodness you're all right and you're alive. There is life after life. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I call it life after life. I call it life after life and never life after death. Mm-hmm. You know, and that spirit has evolved. They're okay. They're safe. They're well, you know, and they are happy. You know, and I think spirits find it very, very hard to have crossed away, you know, crossed over with suicide, because they've gone through a very, very difficult time here. Mm-hmm. They've needed an out clause. They've done something really, really big. They've been told for a long, long time, hey, you do that, do you know what? You're not going to get to heaven. You're going to get stuck. You know, through the Catholic beliefs, you know, you're going to get stuck. You're going to be in this midway place. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awful. It's going to be bad. You know, I do believe they go through a moment of counseling. They get over there, mm-hmm. you know, and they go through those cornfields we talked of. And they get through to the gates, and they go through, and someone's going to say, what have you done? Mm-hmm. You know, do you realize what upset you've caused? You know, and it's almost like they go through this counseling process of saying, you know, you really shouldn't have done that. We need to talk about this for a while. And, you know, in Earth terms, let's talk about this for a month. You know, so, though, again, there's no time in spirit, but in Earth terms, let's talk about this for a month. Let's go through this whole process of why you've done that and why you shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. And then once we've gone through that and you feel happy and I feel happy, then, hey, you know, I'll let you cross over. Hmm. You know, so it doesn't mean that they're unhappy there in that time. You know, they are at peace. They are happy. But it's just that level of you've got to realize what you've done.
Well, let's talk about relationships, because as you're speaking of the suicide, for example, and the counseling, I realize I'm so aware that so much of our growth and so much of our pain is all through relationships, like leaving like that, or, and we were talking before we started this interview about relationships are being, there's a lot of upheaval these days as people, however you'd explain, I'd say coming up with changes in themselves.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. It's been, the time is evolving right now. We are changing as people. We're changing as a race. We're changing as a human race.
Do you call it the shift, Stuart?
Sorry?
Do you call it the shift?
It's absolutely the shift, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we need to be prepared for it. You know, we need to be ready for this. I think many people have been caught off guard right now. You know, and what I mean by being caught off guard is I'm seeing so many people walk through my door. You know, I do readings every day. Mm-hmm. Monday to Friday, and I'm seeing people coming through the door, and they're in bits. Mm. You know, I don't know how to deal with my life. You know, I've got an amazing, amazing husband, and I love him, and I've been with him for 26 years. But you know what? I want to leave him, and I don't know why I want to leave him. I've also got the best job in the world. You know, it's fantastic, best paid, and I love it and adore it. But God, for some reason, I just want to leave it. I want to do something else. You know, so people are just going through almost like midlife crisis.
How do you explain that?
I think it's, again, it's just a shift. It's change. What they're not realizing is that we've got this massive change going on. So because they're in the vibration of change, they're thinking, "Oh, hey, maybe I could change my job then." You know, they're not realizing it's just change. It doesn't mean go and change your job. It doesn't mean change your relationship. It doesn't mean change your finances. It's just we're in vibration of change. It's the change of good, and things are going to be amazing for us on this earth. Mm-hmm. You know,
but what does that require within us?
It's a self-acceptance. You know, we need to turn around and say, do you know what? Okay. And this is the most difficult thing, because people don't realize what this change is about. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, anybody now listening, you know, saying to you, look, just sit in your space in time. Sit within yourself. Realize that you are changing, you are evolving as a most beautiful human being. And just sit and harness that and just know that everything is going to be okay. You're going to be happy. Mm-hmm. Life is changing because we need to change, because we've been going into such a disastrous road, a horrid discovery, really, where life has really tipped up on its edge. Mm-hmm. And we need to realize that, hey, you know, we are beautiful. We are amazing. Mm-hmm. We don't have to, you know, buckle to the trend of the world that we have to, you know, government systems and finances. And, you know, we just need to come back off from ourselves for a minute, have a think and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Things have been disastrous, even in government systems, negativity all around that. It's been a very, very hard time. We've noticed it over here. We have an amazing Prime Minister here now, David Cameron. From what I've seen of Barack Obama, you know, and don't wish to get political because people may not agree with what I'm going to say, but these people have been brought in to make a change. Mm-hmm. If they're given that change, they're working in a light worker's way. Mm-hmm. You know, where beforehand, you know, other prime ministers and presidents and et cetera, they've not been working in a light former's way. They don't care. They just want to make money. They're there for the oil and everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, this now is about us. It's about the human race. It's about discovery. And they're helping us. They're opening up their own light and their own love to try and help our countries get better. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, a lot of these guys, again, without getting too political here, but they're trying to pick up the pieces that's been left behind, the mess, from other leaders that maybe haven't been as positive and been working in the light.
Yeah.
You know, so we just need to sit back and think, do you know what? We're going to be fine. Things are going to be okay. As soon as we get into June, July next year, this planet of ours will become a lot easier to exist in.
Hmm.
People feel happier, more confident, more peaceful. It's going to be a good time for us. You know, but right now people are thinking, do you know what? I can't cope. I can't manage. You know, as I said, I want to get out of my work. I need to leave my relationship. Don't. Please, please, please don't. Unless you are bitterly miserable and think, do you know what? I really, really do need to get out.
But don't you think it's really important when people are feeling that need to change, kind of like you said, to drop inside and find out what kind of principles we've been numb about, things that we've been operating on that we're not looking at?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's really required.
It takes some amazing wisdom, but that wisdom can easily be found. You know, and to anyone listening right now, you know, if you just simply place your left hand onto your tummy, onto your solar plexus, and just say, what is it that I need? What is it that makes me happy? What direction do I need to go next? And listen to that. Listen to your instinct. Listen to the emotion that's within inside you, because that is your answer. You know, in and around the tummy area especially is the solar plexus, this beautiful chakra of ours just there, and the nerve endings in that physical body are much akin to the nerve endings that the scientists have found in the human brain.
Right.
Incredible stuff. Anyone get out there and research it.
Yeah, it's a very exciting subject. Thank you for that. I've got my hand, my left hand is on my stomach.
Yeah, and just go within. Mm-hmm. You know, just say, what do I need? What makes me happy? You know, do I need money right now? Do I need to bring a change to my relationships? Do I need, and just keep asking these. And the first voice you hear back, the very, very first voice you hear, it will be your voice, it'll be your thought, your voice you recognize, but listen to that direct bang answer. Listen to that, because that's the truth. That's your spirit self giving you the guidance and talking back to you. The second voice you hear, again, will be your voice, but it'll be saying, really? Are you sure? Get out. You know, you're mad. You're just hearing things. You know, that's the ego kicking in, saying, well, I'm not so sure about it.
Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are? You crazy, crazy fool. You know, you just need to listen. Just listen, listen, listen. We all have the power to do it.
Now, you think humanity is going to make a shift out of this not listening or this kind of numbed out, pulsing group?
I think we're desensitized. I think we're desensitized on many levels. I don't think everyone's going to get it. I don't think everyone's going to get it, to be honest.
You do think everyone's going to get
no,
it?
No, I don't think everyone will.
Yeah. But
it's
how much?
Sad, really. That actually, you know, when I'm talking to you there, Veronica, that hurts me. When I think of that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for me, all I want to do in my work is to reach out to as many people as I can. Reach out and hold them and love them.
Right.
You know, may that be through my voice, may that be through my guidance to them, whatever it may be. And I can see so many people out there thinking, I can't do it. And there's so many people that will give up and they say, I can't do it. And I know in the end they'll be okay. You know, but rather than taking maybe 1 year to get through it and come out of it, they're going to take 10 years.
But there's something else, which is the way you're working and talking and cultivating people and being a light worker, which you are. We don't need everybody to make the change. We need enough to really kind of send that wave through the collective.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
That's why I don't feel too sad about it. But I do know that it gets wearying for a lot of people trying to keep opening.
It's tired. Yeah, it's tiring.
What do you think about ETs?
Sorry, say that again?
What do you think about ETs and crop circles and all of that?
Yeah, incredible stuff again, isn't it? You know, I've always said to people, do you know, we'd be very naive just to believe that we are the only people out there. You know, there is more to us. There's more to the human race.
Well, when you're talking about the spheres, do you think that the ETs live in different spheres, or do you think they're just in a different frequency, or what do you think?
I think they're in different spheres. Yeah, absolutely. You know, do you know anyone, if you ever come over to this country, and if you do, Veronica, please, I'd love to meet you.
I'd love to meet you.
You know, and I'll show you around some amazing places. But the this country, we're so blessed, you know, with crops, circles, and, you know, they're just, there's a lot building up at the minute.
Have you seen them, Stuart? Have you gone to see a real-life crop circle?
I have, yeah, and it's breathtaking.
Wow.
You know, being within that energy in itself, it's almost like you just step into another zone, and it's just, it's powerful, you know? It's almost like an electromagnetic energy, which we are, you know? But it's just, you can feel it. You know, when you go in and you put your hand in there, you can actually feel it. It's almost like a staticky feeling.
How exciting.
And again, cornfields. Talking about cornfields earlier. I've been into the cornfield and it's just stunning.
Wow.
You know, it just, oh, it's amazing.
And
amazing.
And they are really amping things up for a lot of people, aren't they? I mean, that's their biggest service, or for the whole planet, eh?
Yeah. I think, you know, again, this energy, as I would call it, is watching over us and observing us, you know. And I remember a few years ago having my very own UFO experience.
Oh, wonderful. Tell us about it.
I mean, I thought I was crazy. You know? And I was out there, this is, well, many, many moons ago, and I was looking up at the sky, and I was with this chap who was my girlfriend's father, and we're looking up at the sky, and we can see these two big balls of white light, and they just merged together and then split, and they split at a speed like I've never seen anything like it, and they were just playing in the sky, you know, and you can't get your head around it. I mean, the speed, you know, you're literally going from one end of the, you know, from the sky system to the other within half a second. You're thinking, how on earth could you do that? And how could you move in that space so quickly? You know, and it was just breathtaking to watch. And I always jokingly say, you know, back then, you know, I used to like to have a couple of drinks and a couple of beers. And I remember looking at my, as what would have been a father-in-law, I suppose, in the future. Never was to be, but looked at each other thinking, this stuff we're drinking is pretty strong. You know? And I will always remember that for the rest of my life. And I know that that was not alcohol-driven. I know that that was absolutely what we saw.
Was it exciting?
We still get it here. You know, where we are, we live in a beautiful area called Hampshire.
Oh, okay.
We're about 40 miles away from London. Where we are, we're just in a rural village location outside a place called Dummer Village, which is, I don't know if you ever heard of Fergie.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Her mother and father lived just up the road from where we are.
Hmm.
So we have great royal connections here.
Oh, wow.
Which is lovely.
Great.
At night, where we are here, there's no street lights.
Hmm.
And you can look up at the stars. And every now and then, you can just see these little things in the sky just moving around. And I always just say thank you.
Hmm.
Because I know you're up there.
That's so confident. Well, do you believe that we're kind of a trial species or an experiment from other galactic...
We could be. I don't know, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting one, that, though.
Mm-hmm. It is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really got my thoughts going. Because I'm a thinker, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, yeah, that's really, really interesting. What's mm-hmm. your thoughts on it?
I really think that's true, but I haven't got any proof or anything. But we don't need to go far into that. Let's go back into you and talking about spirits. Oh, and I also believe the UFO species know how to screen themselves vibrationally, so we just don't see them, but I feel like they're around.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just figure, as an intuitive, why can't we learn to see them, which I believe we can, you know?
I think, you know, that they want to almost go under the radar from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Have to, wouldn't they? I mean, would you want to land on Earth? I mean, you were worried about telling people about your intuitive.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I live in a UFO, and I.
Yeah. How you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't be easy to get your head around with it. I think that, you know, in a sense that, you know, I feel as we evolve, you know, certainly over the next, you know, 50 to 100 years, that more in a sense of, you know, UFO, et cetera. I think a lot of that's going to come out more and more and more.
Yeah, and I'm excited about that. I think that'll expand our horizons. But I'm also very excited about the fact that you're doing these dinner shows. You're doing all kinds of wonderful presentations, and I like your vlogs.
Yeah.
So talk about what it's like at a show and how on earth you're at this wonderful, elegant place and people are eating an elegant meal. How do you deal with it all? Tell me what the process is.
It's a lovely, lovely night, actually. I have an event coming up, and I do these every now and then, where we have private dining.
Mm.
There's a beautiful property called the Wellington Arms. It's on the Duke of Wellington's estate.
Oh, woo.
Here in Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
The actual location itself, I have a room there, which is called the Wellesley Suite.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lovely dinner suite, and we have space for 16 people around the table. So it's private dining, so we close, there's no one else comes in, just the 16 of us. We have a private dining menu, and they come in and they eat the most exquisite, most beautiful Michelin starred inspired food.
Wow.
You know, we eat well. We eat like kings and queens.
And do the beings that come get to eat as well?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a lovely thing. And so we have these energies. These people come because they want to eat well, food is good, but they also would love to hear from their loved ones.
Okay.
So what happens is people come along for the night. We have this experience. But at the end of the night, you know, in the middle of the night, I'm talking about my experiences as a psychic medium, about the spirit world, etc. And then at the end of the night, I do a demonstration of mediumship. So those loved ones that are around the table, I bring forward their loved ones that are in spirit and deliver messages.
Hmm.
So on all levels, it's just a beautiful night.
That sounds wonderful. Do you get to do 16 different ones?
No, not on all nights. I mean, I'll be the first one to admit that, you know, you can get those people is who perhaps wants to get through the most sometimes. And sometimes spirits are just wanting to sit and look,
mm-hmm.
observe, you know. So, you know, you may get to get 10, you know, 10 messages out.
Mm-hmm.
I can get around all of them sometimes. You never know which way it's going to go,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, it's incredible. I you know, I adore that. And as much as I adore doing my shows at the theatre as well, I think that's lovely,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you're meeting so many people, so on a big basis.
So on the theater, is that huge? Like, that's not 16. How many is that?
Well, you can go from anything from, you know, some of the smaller ones. You can be 140 to the bigger ones. You'll get 300. Mm. You know, 300 people.
So you get the more fierce spirits, or the ones that are more earnest about getting through.
Yeah, again, I think it very much is. You know, the strongest will come through. The very much determined energies will come through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to deliver 300 messages or whatever it is. You know, it may well be in that period of that night that you're going to, you know, read or be able to give, you know, maybe 15 messages or so. But what the most beautiful thing out of it is that everybody that's come along, their heart is touched, mm-hmm. in a way. Even if they watch someone else's loved one come through, it can bring a comfort to them in the knowledge that there is life after life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost, it consoles them and counsels them in a way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really, really helps them. It's beautiful to see. It's incredible, incredible to see.
Mm-hmm. And do you think the veil is thinning all over the place? And do you
yes,
think
it is.
More
absolutely.
And more people are able to see beyond?
Yeah, I think more, you know, it's more gifted people that, you know, I call it gifted, a little bit unsure about the word gifted. But you know, the gifted ones, if you want to call it that, are starting to come forward. People that are more sensitive are coming forward. Spirits are coming forward a lot more. I don't feel that they're going to come forward ever, as in, like, hey, we really, really do exist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that's ever going to happen. And the reason, or my reasoning behind that, is if we ever really do prove that there definitely, definitely is this spirit world, then everybody's going to be on a mass exodus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That actually makes sense, because we're here to do some work, aren't we?
We need to do some work,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we need to do that, and we need to learn lessons, etc. So if we go on a mass exodus and say, hey, well, hang on, I'm out of here.
So what do you think is the punishment? You said lessons, mass lessons, or, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think is our punishment? Is it just our life experiences, or just how do you see that?
I think it's just going back again, really. I think it's having to go back and learn it all over again.
Mm.
You know, and that's pretty much like, you know, going back to primary school.
Sounds...
You know, going back to first school and having to go through that, and then going through secondary school. I don't know what you call it in the States, but...
That'll do.
Yeah, you know, it's just going through, you know, from being a very, very small child and learning, and then going into, you know, to the next level of school and learning. You know, it's almost like having to go back and do that all over again.
Hmm.
You know, I don't want to do that. You know, as much as I love school.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So what about when we get to the other side? Is there punishment?
I wouldn't call it a punishment as such. I just feel that, you know, it's that, you know, that you must realize what you've done, and having this time to realize what you've done and what you should and shouldn't have done. I don't want to call it that, you know, that the whip comes out and you shouldn't have done this and you shouldn't have done that and this is bad and you know, I don't see it like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're free of all of that in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that kind of judgment and etc. is all man-made.
Mm.
You know, we don't go through that in spirit.
I guess it's man-made to keep us under control, which doesn't work that
does it? Yeah, sadly, it has to be, I suppose. You know?
Yeah, and what about spirit guides? How do people get in touch with them? And do you get that question when you're doing, for example, a live theater?
Mm. Yeah, I get that quite a lot. I mean, the spirit guides, you know, as much as my spirit guides, one of my spirit guides, you know, he took me 6 years to actually get that link with him.
Hmm.
You know, because people say to me, oh, hey, you know, I want to meet my spirit guide and love to have a chat with them. And, you know, I say, yeah, well, that's fine, you can, but just be prepared. It may well take you 6 years.
What do you think the process is that takes, six years?
I think it's in a sense that the teacher will appear when the pupil is ready to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So although, you know, we may feel that we're ready and we want to go with that and, you know, learn about guides, we might not be ready for it spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when the doors open to the spirit world, when the doors open to our guides, if they've got half a chance, they'd be working us 24/7. Because they're so excited, because they want to be able to work with us and work with this earth plane.
Mm-hmm.
So and they might not be ready to do that. You know, as much as I wasn't really ready, you know.
Well, how young were you when you started doing it?
My mum saw me at, say, 6 years old and noticed I was different at that point, but my first ever reading was when I was 19 years old.
Oh, really? And you were speaking to your guide by then? Pardon me?
Sorry?
I say you were actually speaking with your own guide by then?
I certainly was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I started speaking with my spirit guide when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And so from around the age of 10 years old, that's when I was starting to be developed and shown that this is the way forward. I was taken in by that point to my mum, who mentioned earlier on with, you know, the Catholic upbringings and things. She wanted to go and see a healer, started going into churches, spiritualist centers, healing centers, etc. Then I started to get delivered, you know, my knowledge of it was starting around then.
Mm-hmm.
So it went forward, it kept going, kept growing, and then going through my years, got to 19, I sat in circle, started to develop. I needed to understand what I was going through, and this medium said, well, hey, you know, I'm the lady, I'm going to help you with that. And she did. I've done my first reading, and the rest is history.
Hmm.
You know, I haven't stopped since.
But it's interesting because, as we already said, the Catholic training in that mystical part is really helpful. But also going to some spiritualist churches and being in that ambiance or that recognition or intentional focus must help a lot, doesn't it?
Mm, it's a lovely, lovely energy to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them are,
mm-hmm.
Which might sound a bit strange, but not all centers are. Not all spiritualist churches are quite right. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's the vibration. I'm not sure. But some places are just absolutely stunning. There's a lovely spiritualist church that I go to in London from time to time, and it's in an area called Notting Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the energy in there is just beautiful.
Mm.
You go in there and you feel high.
Wow.
You know, literally, like you are high as a kite. You are so high on the energy that's in there.
That's just being the higher frequency, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a place called the London Spiritual Mission.
Hmm.
And they have a website. Please look it up. It's mm-hmm. just an amazing place.
Wonderful. Well, you also have a lovely frequency.
Thank you.
That, to me, is a kind of a vibrational print of your own personal evolution or integrating your knowledge, your wisdom of more expanded reality. I like that a lot. It's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to learn every day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe we will learn everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that, you know, I'll be 96 and I'll get over there and I still won't know anything.
That's a sign of wisdom when you know you don't know. And I think it's
yeah,
very exciting.
Yeah, we don't know everything. We will never know everything.
Of course.
But we'll get over there and we'll, you know, and they'll sit us down and they'll say, well, this is what it was all about, Stuart. This is what it was all about, Veronica. And we'll say... All right, is that it?
Well, and I just want to say this about gifts. I often think that so many of us have a variety of gifts, and I really think it's about finding what they are. So I want to honor the fact that that's a part of your gift.
Yeah, people are good at certain things, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people look for what they're especially good at because they're kind of corralled by social programming, you know?
Yeah, I think it's important to, you know, in spirit form to learn what you're good at. Some people are healers.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are crystal workers.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are chakra workers, some people are mediums, some people are psychics, you know, some people are good at psychic drawing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like anything. It's like on this earth plane, you know, that, you know, some people are good at math, some people are good at English, some people are good at art.
And some are just plain funny.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
you know, we have to evolve, we have to learn, you know, and it's beautiful evolving with it. You know, I see it growing every day. And do you know what? I love this.
That's great. That's
you know,
wonderful.
I just absolutely love this. There's nothing more in my heart that I could ever dream of doing.
Ah, that's wonderful. Well, you're very much a contributor. You better tell people how to get hold of you so they can go across the water by internet or even
physically.
Many,
many, many ways. Mm-hmm. I have a website, which is www.stuartkeys.com. The Stuart is spelled STEWART, and the Keys is spelled KEEYS. For anyone that's on Facebook, the social networking site, I'm also on there, which is Stuart Keys Live. Again, the spelling is the same, STEWART, Keys, KEYS, and then Live, LIVE.
I love that you put the word live there. That for some reason makes me chuckle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just a little giggle.
Yeah.
a little chuckle.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a page that it evolves all the time. It changes every day. There's questions, like what we've been talking about today. There's questions and there's answers and there's thoughts from me. There's vlogs. The vlogs are like the video blogs about me chatting about all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it's a fully interactive page. All people got to do, they go on there and just like it. Just grow with me, grow in knowledge, and we all grow together.
Well, and you're going to come across the water one of these days, are you?
I really want to. America, for me, I've always felt this way. I can't quite explain this, and I hope this doesn't sound too crazy, but it feels very much a home to me.
Oh, wonderful. Well, if you come over, come visit us. We're in the north, and it's not always as more Englishy weather. It's not like California.
Yeah, well, it'd be wonderful. I've always had this pull and would love to do that and take some of my work in what I'm doing and bring it across the water,
Wonderful. Well, we'll put light on that and hope to be seeing you here soon physically, even though it was wonderful to see you vibrationally.
It's been lovely, and I really, really appreciate your time and your space, and thank you so much for talking to me.
And your heart,
and,
thank you.
Thank you, and thank you so much to all the listeners for listening to me today, and I hope it's helped. And if anyone has any questions, feel free to get in contact with me.
And I hope that you'll be hearing from people. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much to Stuart Keyes, who has been talking to us from the UK. Be in touch with him if you'd like. You can get in touch with him even through me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com, for either of us or any suggestions about guests or feedback about Stuart. I thank you all so much for listening. Good night and many blessings.